Welcome back to the Rule of Law podcast, where we discuss a wide range of topics without fear. So join me, Lauren, aka Law, as we embark on a weekly journey together. As always, I aim to share my healing journey with you and create new rules as we navigate life together. Let's talk about it. Welcome back to the Rule of Law podcast. And if you haven't had the chance yet, make sure you check out our first episode where I shared the beginning of my own healing journey. But today, we're diving into something that many of us might overlook or even feel silly about. Unresolved feelings over what we perceive as minor issues. So I got a question for you. Have you ever found yourself grappling with emotions over what you thought were simple matters? Well, I have, and I'm ready to talk about it. Before we dive into today's episode, I'd like to provide a disclaimer. Today's discussion will cover sensitive topics, including fertility loss, health care, and the loss of a child, just to name a few. I understand that these topics can evoke profound emotions and may be deeply personal to many listeners. While I aim to approach these subjects with sensitivity and empathy, I acknowledge that everyone's experience and perspectives are unique. The views that I express on this episode are not intended to diminish or invalidate individual experiences, but rather to foster understanding and awareness. I encourage our listeners to engage with the content thoughtfully, recognizing the complexities and nuances of this situation. It's essential to create a safe space for open dialogue while also respecting the diverse experiences and emotions that may arise. If you or someone you know is struggling with any of the topics discussed today, I urge you to seek support from a qualified professional or organization specializing in mental health and well-being. Thank you for joining me today on this new episode of the Rule of Law podcast. Let's navigate today's episode with compassion, understanding, and a commitment to fostering meaningful conversations. Let's talk about it. So let's start with something many of us have experienced: losing a job. It's easy to dismiss as it's a part of life, right? Just a mere, inconvenience. But have you ever considered that losing a job can be or can have the same effects on you mentally as losing a loved one? Bear with me. Think about it this way. When you invest your energy and your emotions into a job, it becomes more than just a source of income. It becomes a significant part of your life, much like a relationship, right? So, when that job is suddenly taken away from you, it leaves you feeling a profound sense of loss. Something's missing. What could I have done? All these questions, just come up. And disappointment and loss, whether from a job or just other aspects of life, can have a deep impact on your emotional well-being. Yet, we often brush these feelings aside, failing to give them the attention that they deserve. And I'm guilty of that. So, we might even find ourselves going through the emotions, operating on autopilot, without truly acknowledging the hurt we're experiencing. And I know I'm not the only one. But here's the thing. Ignoring these emotions doesn't make them go away. Instead, they linger beneath the surface, affecting our mental health and overall happiness. Yup, there goes that word again, happiness. And if you've listened to my previous episode, you know where I'm going with this. That's why it's crucial to take the time to acknowledge and to process your feelings of hurt and loss. So, do you know that the human brain has a process for healing from hurt and loss through a complex interplay of psychological, cognitive, and neurological mechanisms? Well, let me explain. Hey y'all, it's Law here, and thank you for tuning in to my commercial break. Your support means the world to me. Without you, this show wouldn't be possible. So hey, do me a favor. Head over to your socials. You can find us on Instagram at rule_of_law_podcast. And also, guess what? We're on Spotify, we're on YouTube, and you can just hit the search button and search for Rule of Law. So do me a favor, do that, because it's the best way to stay tuned and updated on our latest episode. On Instagram, I share graphics for the Rule of Law of that week or that episode, as well as helpful tools that can help you in your healing journey, right? So without further ado, let's get back into the episode though. The brain's memory system, including the hippocampus and the prefrontal cortex, play a crucial role in processing traumatic experiences and integrating them into long-term memories. Healing often involves revisiting these memories and reframing them, allowing a person to gain perspective, find closure, and eventually moving forward. Understanding the biology of things, guys, really helps the situation because it underscores the importance of the holistic approaches to healing, and it addresses the emotional as well as the physical aspect of full well-being. Strategies such as self-care, social support, mindfulness, and professional therapy can help somebody navigate the biological and psychological effects of hurt and loss, that promoting overall health, for real. Happiness and everything that we're promoting here at the Rule of Law. So when you connect the biological and how your brain works and how the emotional and physical are connected and the psychological, it just brings it full circle when you're on your healing journey. So with that, I want to share again my personal story, because I feel as though that's, you know, what we do here, right? In 2012, I went through it. Like, the story that I'm about to share with you is a story of craziness and madness, and I'm gonna try to put it in the best way possible, but it profoundly impacted my life and shaped my journey towards healing. It's a story of tremendous loss, resilience, and the complexities of processing it. I faced a devastating loss, guys, and it shattered my world. Not only did I lose a pregnancy, but I lost the ability as a woman to naturally conceive a child, which was now years later, and now processing it has affected me for a while, and it's very hard, and the things that I struggle with are very hard, and I would have never really realized that I would have struggled with them back then, right? The circumstances surrounding this loss were fraught with difficulty. Like, I had an unplanned pregnancy, all honesty. A toxic relationship was going on, right? Like, thought it was great, but definitely was living in Delulu. And a dangerous medical condition while working myself to death and ignoring certain pains, certain situations. And finally, I was, you know, forced to face it. So I found myself navigating a labyrinth of emotions, unsure of how to proceed. The decision either to
undergo surgery, let it stay, you know, hope for the best, was hard, but I was in pain. So I kind of felt as though that to undergo surgery to address the dangerous cysts complicating the pregnancy seemed to be the only option. Little did I know that that decision would like tremendously alter my life. The surgery was intended to just be routine. It turned into a nightmare, y'all. I woke up disoriented, intubated in the hospital, and in excruciating pain, and unable to understand what just happened. And in that little bit of time before they put me to sleep, they let me know I was came from a doctor's office, and then now I was in the hospital, George Washington University Hospital. And oh my gosh, till this day, I thank God for the staff, the nurses, everything. They really changed my life. They saved my life, but they definitely changed my life forever, right? But after surgery, I woke up and I was informed that I had been at the brink of death with only a 1% chance of survival. Like, the doctor was just like, you lost 50% of the blood in your body. And during this time, like, I could only imagine what my family was thinking, because my dad was supposed to pick me up from the office after my procedure. And he showed up, and what he saw was them taking me out in a gurney, not awake. It was crazy. Like, it was madness and mayhem, and I can only imagine, because at this time, I tell you guys, I wasn't awake. I was under pain medication. I was in and out. I was loopy. And the time that I did check in, I was in the emergency room, and the doctor was telling me, like, I'm going to give you more pain meds, because I was, like, in pain. And he was like, unfortunately, it's going to knock you out. And it did. But when I did wake up, I was in the ICU with a tube down my throat. And I was just in shock, because also the date on the board in front of me was the day after the surgery, right? So I went in on Saturday, and I think from what I remember, it was saying that it was either Sunday or Monday, right? And I tell you guys that I remember, because this particular traumatic situation, I've had the effects of trauma, as in, like, I remember certain pieces sometimes and sometimes I don't. It's like my brain's way of just shielding it from me. And that's that biological aspect that I keep on, you know, that I mentioned earlier in the episode. And so when I woke up after, I'm gonna tell y'all, like, always have your parents or whoever, your next of kin or whoever it is, written on some piece of paper to get information, because my parents were not even allowed to, like, make any decisions. They weren't allowed to see me until I woke up. So I can only imagine how my parents were feeling. Like, my mom, who was taking care of my daughter at the time, came down to the hospital trying to find information, and she's like, I'm her mom, and they're just like, I don't care. You're nowhere on the paperwork. So that was a life lesson for me in that moment. So I suggest anything, put somebody down that can make decisions or that they can inform them, because my parents were sitting clueless, even though the nurses told them bits and pieces of information, but that was about it. But the doctor delivered devastating news to me when I woke up. And that was the part of, one, I had to remove part of your reproductive system, and that two, that's going to affect you naturally ever being able to conceive. And I was just like, okay, in that moment, I was taking a lot of things in. So I don't think it hit me in that particular moment. I was still stuck on the 1% chance and the 50% of the blood in my body, and that I was about to die, right? So in the aftermath of this traumatic experience, I found myself really fighting with conflicting emotions, gratitude for survival, and the weariness of grief over the loss of fertility, right? I struggled to reconcile the belief in a higher plan. So I was sitting there like, God, like, I get it. There's a higher plan, but right now in this moment, I don't understand it. But it was the overwhelming sense of injustice that consumed me. But I was hiding it with, you know, what my family was telling me to, like, be thankful, be thankful, be thankful, right? So as I laid in the hospital surrounded by loved ones, I felt the pressure to focus on that gratitude rather than the mourning. And don't get it wrong, the hospital did offer me a support group and counseling sessions, but after the psychiatrist had talked to me, I basically covered it up with, like, you know, I have religion, my mom, my pastor, all that type of stuff, because I thought, like, in that moment, it was just, like, more of, I could have died, God saved me. And don't get me wrong, I'm a believer, and everybody, you know, everybody that knows me knows I've become stronger now with my religion than before, right? I am definitely at church every Sunday, y'all, so I don't play. But back then, I wasn't the Christian that I am today. I wasn't the believer that I am today. But in that moment, it was kind of what I felt as though was the wake-up call to get closer with God, right? It was. For me, that's what it was. But I decided to decline those counseling sessions, convinced that I should be stronger and I'm more resilient, and with God's strength, it's okay and whatnot, so on and so forth. But y'all, little did I realize that the emotions that I was suppressing would surface years later, manifesting in unexpected ways. When I faced that employment loss, y'all, that I talked about episode one, yeah, I experienced the same feeling of grief and disorientation that I did that day. It wasn't until then that I began to understand the true nature of loss and the importance of allowing yourself to process it fully. It was crazy, y'all. So guys, that was a snippet, I guess. The story has so many details, and I could really, you know, go on and on about that whole situation, and maybe later down the line, I can make an episode just based off of that experience, because I learned a lot about the health system. I learned a lot about malpractice. I learned a lot about a lot of things. But today, I share this story not for your sympathy, but as a testament to the power of resilience and necessity of acknowledging your pain. Loss comes in many forms, and it seems essential to honor our emotions, whether they stem from, like, the loss of a job, a relationship, a dream, or in my case, a medical emergency. There are stereotypes of how we're supposed to handle things. And I give you guys a perspective as a strong Black woman, as what they say, right? Put that in quotations, right? Strong Black women can be both empowering and limiting for me. While it celebrates the resilience and perseverance of Black people and Black women, it can also put pressures on Black women to suppress the vulnerability and emotions, making it challenging to acknowledge and address our pain, right? Like, I find it that as a Black woman, in my experience, and as a woman in general, but my lived experience is of a Black woman, and I'd like to, you know, I want my listeners to understand my perspective as I show it. But we're told that we're strong. We're told we're supposed to be strong. And even in the medical field, our feelings of pain are ignored, because apparently back in the day, Black women had a high tolerance of pain, and they had a way, quote unquote, it's proven. But that puts us in so much danger, because I could go into specifics about Black women maternity, death rate. I could put that in so many perspectives when it comes to it, and I'm dealing with it now, when it comes to my pain not being heard after having surgery recently, and them thinking, like, it's all in my head. But unfortunately, it in general, pain and loss is something that everybody faces, and we have to look it in the eye and process it. Like, healing is a journey and often fraught with twists and turns, but by allowing ourselves to feel the full spectrum of emotions, we pave the way for true healing and transformation. And I say true healing and transformation because you can fake it. I faked it. I've faked it a couple of times. Like my first round in therapy, I faked it, you know? It's fixing me. No, it wasn't. I wasn't doing nothing. So, you know, you have to actually intentionally choose to go on this journey, and that's what I have, and I'm going on this journey with you guys. I'm sharing it, and at some point in time the stories are gonna, you know, stop, and it's gonna be the experiences of my daily life, right? Because it's still a journey. There's still things I'm addressing right now, right? So where do we begin healing from these wounds? Yeah, great question. And I'm gonna share something with you, right? I feel as though it starts with allowing ourselves to feel the pain. It's okay to grieve the loss of a job or any other disappointment that you've encountered in life. In fact, it's necessary for your emotional well-being. Like, those suppressed emotions come out in such a negative way, right? Such a negative way, and we don't understand. So we'll be feeling some type of way and we won't be able to pinpoint it. Or other people will point out certain reactions when they talk about something. Or they point out something, or you're in certain environments, right? But those all stem from the underlying emotions that has not been processed. Unprocessed emotions can come out and show out in so many negative ways that will have you thinking you're absolutely insane, that you've absolutely lost your mind. And you keep on questioning it because in that time you are not really acknowledging the pain. So you're unable to acknowledge the pain to even address it. So the next step is we need to give ourselves permissions to let go. I know it's hard. It's definitely hard. Like I had to get to a point to, one, forgive myself, because I noticed that a lot of things was blaming myself for putting myself in that situation. A lot of things where I didn't, you know, I was scared to go to my mom, or I was scared to go to, you know, certain people. So I blamed myself. So I was not allowing myself to feel those feelings because it was just like, it's my fault, right? But holding on to resentment or anger only prolongs our suffering in that moment. By releasing these negative emotions, we create space for healing and growth. And that's basically what I've done now, right? I've created the space for me to start the healing process, for me to incorporate those things that I talk about, like in my healing journey, the things that help my mental health, the self-care days, the going to church and community, being involved with certain things that help me process and kind of, you know, hone into certain skills that will help me. Because my thing is, I like to help other people and it helps me in the process. So doing those things and with the goal of healing from these wounds has been great for me, right? Finally, you just need to remember that healing is a journey. It's not a destination. There's no end route. And that's what I was saying earlier, right? I don't feel as though that I have an end route. Like, I went through all this stuff, this, that, and the third, and all the stories that I'm going to share with you guys. And you're going to be like, girl, you've been through some stuff, right? But I don't feel as though that there's an end route. It's a constant thing, right? It takes time and patience to work through your pain. But with each step forward, we move closer to a place of peace and acceptance, right? And that's the goal. I've come to learn that it's not a goal for it to be over. It's a goal for me to get to a point where I'm at peace with the decisions I've made. I'm at peace with the mistakes I've made. I'm at peace with certain traumatic situations. And don't get me wrong, that does not mean that if somebody created a traumatic situation in your life, or was the reason, or in certain situations you were raped, assaulted, abused, and I've, you know, it's, that doesn't mean that it was okay. and understanding that there's a difference between acknowledging that and forgiving that and giving a pass, I guess, for lack of a better term, right? It was wrong. The action was wrong. And it's okay because that's how you feel, right? But you are not supposed to allow it, or I feel as though, in my opinion, don't allow it to control you and your emotions the rest of your life, right? Because then you're giving that person, that situation, control over everything afterwards. And the only person who's suffering in that moment is you, right? The only person who's suffering in that moment is you. So for my Bible girlies, I hold on to this particular scripture. Jeremiah 33:6 says, "Nevertheless, I will bring health and healing to it. I will heal my people, and I will let them enjoy abundant peace and security." And I share that one because my healing journey is compiled along with my growing relationship with God. And for those of my listeners who aren't Christian, I totally respect it, and it's okay. But for me, that's one of the things that I use during my healing journey, has been my relationship with God, and really pretty much increasing my knowledge in what I believe in, right? But I just wanted to share that because it does state in there, and I found it really interesting, and this is English Standard Version, I will bring health and healing to it, and I will heal my people, and I will let them enjoy abundant peace and security. So for me, I view it as addressing the hurt, loss, and everything is for the goal of bringing healing and abundance, peace, and security. And knowing that before me, somebody, you know, God's goal for me in my life, that's what it was. So to give it a perspective, right, has been very helpful to me. And it's not easy. Don't get me wrong. Addressing hurt, healing, loss, grief is not easy. It puts you in situations where you're faced with emotions that you have been suppressing. And I, Shirley Wright, have been on this journey with this particular story that I shared with you guys, addressing it. And I'm not addressing it all at once. Don't get me wrong. I am currently under care of a professional therapist, and we address these things slowly but surely. And when we feel as though it's just too much, we take a break. But the goal is to get to a point on the other side where I've addressed it and I'm healing from it, and I want to move forward from it, right? So like I've stated before, it's like it won't work unless you work it. So I shared all this, like I said, with you guys to give you information, as always, to give you steps towards it, because there might be somebody who's going through it out there. And for me also, therapeutically, this is the first time in a bigger circle that I've shared this story. Certain people know my experiences and what I went through, and certain individuals, because it wasn't something that I was sharing out wide with so many people. But it was something that I experienced, and some people knew, and it wasn't until I was ready to talk about it. And now I felt ready to share with you guys a little bit of the story. And like I said, there was way more in that situation than what was shared.
But I'm thankful that I had this outlet and this opportunity and this, I guess, answered prayer, I can say, to start this podcast and share my story and share my experience and talk about it and have the time to process exactly what I felt during that time and kind of use it by helping somebody else that might be going through something similar. and coming up with a new rule, because in this experience and in the process of processing those feelings that that came up, I realized I was never taught to honor my feelings and my emotions. It was always to put a mask on it. And there's something that I do nowadays, and I call it mask off. And I got it from this situation where if you're on a plane and they're doing the whole security check, you know, security instructions process, right? They always tell you to put your mask on first before you put somebody else's mask on, because you can only help that person if you take care of yourself, right? So I can only now be at a point to share this with you guys because I've taken the time to address these losses and hurt, to be able to articulate it in such a way that you're here today listening to it. So my rule 2 for episode 2 is honor your emotions, whether they stem from the loss of a job, a relationship, or a dream. Allow yourself to feel the full spectrum of emotions. This way, it paves the way for true healing and transformation. So honor your emotions. Allow yourself to feel the feels. Go through it so that you can get on the other side of it, because that is the only way that we really address emotions. There is no way to go around it. You have to go through it to get on the other side of it. We try all the time to get around it. We try all the time to tiptoe around it, but it will find you somehow. So take your mask off, honor your emotions, wherever they come from, because it will pave a way for true healing and transformation. And I found that in this process, it's really changed the person I am. People who know me will let you know the person who I am today isn't the person I was 2 years ago, isn't the person who I was 3 or 4 years ago. I can say up to like 5 years, I've made a big step of intentionally stepping into my healing journey. And yes, I fell a couple of times. I took a step back, but as long as I hopped back on the bandwagon, that was the important part. And I hopped up on the bandwagon, and I feel as though I was stronger when I got back up. I addressed those feelings. I was scared of them. Don't get me wrong, I was scared of them. I'm still scared of some of the feelings that come sometimes. Sometimes I get in a moment where I'm just like, nah, bruh. Like, nah, I ain't going there, you know? And I honor those feelings. I allow those feelings to, you know, I honor that feeling. That's how I felt, right? So in honoring that feeling, I take a break. I put it on pause, but I make a plan that I'm going to address it. It's going to come back. I use different tools. I learn different tools all the time through therapy, but I honor all my emotions. I pay attention to when I feel some type of way, I do it. And trust me, I've slipped and fell recently where I've had a situation where I was pulled into some mess, and boy, oh boy, I don't do best anymore, right? And I stayed quiet in the midst of the mess, and I didn't let myself be heard, my feelings be heard, and it just made the situation bigger, right? And I found myself still dealing with the emotions weeks later until I addressed it. Until I addressed it and put it into actions and implemented boundaries. And now I'm in a place where I'm like, that's not happening. And I had to take a step away from the situation for a second to feel the feels and allow myself to feel it. And as the feelings kept on going, y'all, like, I was feeling more aggravated, more, you know, like, it was some little kid drama stuff with old people, and I don't do that because I'm too old for this. But I got to a point where I was just like, it's not the little kid drama part for me, right? It was the feeling of feeling like I was in high school, and my high school experience, I did not enjoy it at all. There were certain parts that I did, but I didn't enjoy the little gossip girls situation, right? So I felt like that. I felt like I was spoken to as a child, like I was a child. I felt disrespected, and I felt that the person didn't acknowledge what I was saying in the moment and was disregarding my feelings and kept disregarding my feelings. And just to keep peace, I kept quiet. But that feeling of I wasn't heard, that feeling of I lost the moment, it festered, right? It festered. So, and this is just saying, like, it's going to continue. Things are going to happen. And I'm giving this as an example because it happened recently. And I'm talking about something that happened in 2012 and something that happened to me within the last 2 weeks, right? So always honor your emotions. I'm not saying go out there and cuss somebody out because that's what I used to do. I'm not saying go out there and get into a fight because that's what I used to do. And I use the word used to. Honor your emotions by allowing you to feel the feels and try to figure out how you can get on the other side of it. What do you need to do? What do you need? And understanding that sometimes if it's somebody else that you need to do something, they're not going to do it for you. You got to do it for yourself. Hey, y'all, it's Law. If you're a fan of the show, I would love to hear from you. Leave me a comment, share your thoughts, or even suggest topics you would like me to cover. Remember, sharing is caring, so don't forget to spread the word to your friends, family, and podcast enthusiasts. If you want to do so, you can find the links to our socials in the description box. Thank you again for your support, and keep on listening. So, that's all for today's episode of the Rule of Law podcast. And I hope this discussion has encouraged you to take the time to heal from any hurt or loss that you may be experiencing. Remember, you're not alone in this journey. Rule of Law 2, healing is a journey, not a destination. Take the time to acknowledge and process your feelings of hurt and loss. And for this, until next time, take care of yourself and each other, and remember, stay true, stay cool, and always make your own rules. That's it. See you all next time on the Rule of Law podcast.